We are standing at a clear inflection point in the market right now. The whole wait for a rate cut strategy that so many commercial real estate investors were holding on to, well, it's officially dead.
Completely dead, yeah.
Right. But rather than being a cause for panic, this stabilization of expectations is actually creating some massive, unprecedented opportunities,
Yeah.
especially if you're looking at prime Dallas-Fort Worth retail and, grocery-anchored assets.
Oh, absolutely.
So, welcome to the show. If you're tuning in, you're obviously looking for clarity in a really complex market. Today, we're bringing you a highly focused deep dive, cutting straight through the noise to find the signal. And I want to mention up front, this special briefing is brought to you by Eureka Business Group.
Right, the premier authority.
Exactly. They're the premier authority and commercial real estate broker in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, specializing entirely in retail. So, what's our mission today?
Well, our mission is actually highly specific for this deep dive. We took a massive stack of commercial real estate news, data, and market reports from the first week of July 2026.
Which was a lot to get through.
It was a ton, but we synthesized it down to the absolute essentials. We're looking for actionable insights tailored specifically for DFW retail investors and especially for 1031 exchange buyers.
Because they're operating under that intense pressure of a ticking clock.
Exactly. So our goal is to explain not just what the data says, but really how and why these market mechanics are moving so you can position your capital accordingly.
Yeah, and to understand where we're going, we have to start with the baseline reality of where we are today.
Right.
We have to talk about the macro landscape.
You always have to start with the macro.
Right, because the cost of capital is basically the invisible hand dictating absolute every single retail transaction in Texas right now. And the Federal Reserve just gave us a massive reality check.
They really did.
Yeah, at their June 17 FOMC meeting, they voted 12 to 0 to hold rates at 3.50% to 3.75%.
But it wasn't just the hold that shocked the market.
No, it was the forecast. Exactly. It was the explicit removal of the last projected rate cut for 2026, along with raising the PCE inflation forecast to 3.6%.
And that unanimous 12 to 0 vote is the critical detail there. I mean, it signals absolute consensus at the Fed that inflation is just stickier than anticipated.
Yeah.
For the commercial real estate world, that completely killed the narrative that cheap debt was coming back to save those deals that were underwritten back in 2023.
Totally.
And we're seeing the immediate mechanical effect of that in the net lease market. According to the Boulder Group's Q2 2026 report, single-tenant net lease cap rates, they raised 2 basis points to 6.82%.
Wow.
Yeah, and overall retail cap rates rose 5 basis points to 6.60%. The market is officially repricing for a higher for longer era.
Okay, let's unpack this because the supply side of this equation is where things get genuinely fascinating. According to the sources, single-tenant inventory actually rose 12.5% quarter over quarter.
Which is a huge jump.
It is. We're looking at roughly 5,800 properties sitting on the market right now. Now, in a normal economic model, if supply spikes by 12.5%, you'd expect prices to drop significantly and cap rates to expand aggressively, right?
Quite normally.
But that is not what's happening across the board. Premium assets are still commanding an absolute premium. Like, for example, McDonald's ground leases are sitting at a shockingly low 4.45% cap rate.
Yep.
You're telling me that a corporate guarantee is worth up to 90 basis points in cap rate spread right now?
It absolutely is. And it really comes down to how investors are pricing risk versus reward in a high interest rate environment. I mean, when debt is expensive, your margin for error just shrinks to zero. So
Cool.
buyers are paying that massive premium for a McDonald's ground lease because they're buying absolute certainty. They know exactly what that cash flow will be on day one and, day 1,000.
Yeah, no surprises.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, pricing in commercial real estate today is being driven entirely by risk mitigation, not by rate cut hopes. We've established a new baseline. Right now, a 6.50% fixed rate at a 65% loan-to-value ratio is basically becoming the standard debt structure for anchored Texas retail.
So the math has fundamentally changed. Waiting for a Fed rate cut to bail out your underwriting today is, well, it's like standing at the departure gate, staring at a screen that says your flight is canceled, and just refusing to leave the airport.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like at some point, you just have to rent a car and drive. Investors have to underwrite for the reality on the ground today. You cannot buy a property with a negative leverage profile, banking on cap rate compression to magically bail you out in 2 years.
Precisely. Your going-in yields have to cover that 6.50% debt service on day one. If the yield doesn't cover the debt, the deal just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And this rigid mathematical reality is exactly why we're seeing a massive behavioral shift in who is actually buying real estate right now. Because traditional leveraged returns are being severely squeezed by these higher rates, the typical syndicator or leveraged fund is stepping back.
But capital still needs to be deployed.
Exactly. It always finds a way.
And that reality is exactly what makes tax deferral strategies the undisputed engine of the current market. I mean, 1031 exchanges are no longer just a clever portfolio optimization tool, right? They are the primary source of deal velocity.
100%.
Private buyers who recently sold highly appreciated assets are operating under the strict timeline pressures of the IRS tax code. They have to place that capital.
And the mechanism driving this is incredibly powerful. Under Section 131 of the tax code, when an investor sells an investment property, they can defer paying capital gains taxes if they reinvest those proceeds into a new property.
Right.
But they only have 45 days to identify a replacement property and 180 days to close.
Which is a brutal ticking clock.
Oh, it's intense. And importantly, the legislative environment for this strategy is completely secure right now.
Which is a relief.
Big relief. Under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or H.R. 1, Section 131 remains fully intact. There is zero legislative tail risk for real property exchanges in 2026. So this absolute certainty allows exchangers to aggressively target replacement properties.
And they're targeting a very specific type of asset.
Yeah.
We have some incredible comps from the sources that illustrate exactly what these buyers want.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Take the market at City Park in Houston. This is an 8,024-square-foot multi-tenant pad. It's fully leased to resilient, necessity-based tenants like Chipotle, Marble Slab, the UPS store.
Solid lineup.
Yeah, and it's shadow-anchored by a Joe V's Smart Shop. That property was just snapped up by an out-of-state 1031 buyer.
Makes sense.
Or look at North Texas, a multi-tenant pad in Anna, Texas, featuring a Verizon and a Jersey Mike's. That just sold to a Dallas area private partnership doing an all-cash 1031 exchange.
And these comps, they tell a very clear story about capital preservation. Private capital wants clean, stabilized, small format retail.
Right.
They want service-oriented assets that do not require massive, immediate capital expenditures or, you know, really complex leasing efforts. Because when you're on day 30 of your 45-day identification window, you do not want to underwrite a turnaround project.
Yeah, you'd be crazy to.
Right. You want an asset that you can close on quickly that will reliably cash flow from the exact moment you take the keys.
Oh, hold on. I have to push back here for a second to really understand the mechanics at play. We just established that single-tenant net lease inventory is up 12.5%.
Right.
So technically, these 1031 buyers actually have more optionality than they've had in years. They have something like 5,800 properties to choose from.
Yep.
But with the intense pressure of that 45-day IRS window breathing down their necks, are 1031 buyers in DFW effectively being forced to sacrifice yield just to find a safe harbor to park their capital? Or are they actually successfully leveraging this new influx of inventory to negotiate a better basis?
That is the defining question for the market right now. And the answer reveals the critical distinction between a reactive buyer and a disciplined buyer.
Okay, how so?
Well, reactive buyers panic as the 45-day window closes. They will overpay for a compressed corporate ground lease just to secure the tax deferral.
Right, just to get it done.
Exactly. But disciplined buyers, the ones who are truly succeeding, they are not sacrificing yield. Instead, they're pivoting.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're looking past the heavily picked over, highly compressed national credit deals. They're moving toward unanchored convenience strips or multi-tenant pads anchored by medical and essential service users.
Ah, I see.
They use the increased overall market inventory to avoid distressed assets while negotiating better entry points on these multi-tenant assets that provide a really healthy blend of both yield and long-term durability.
Well, if 1031 buyers are desperately seeking safe yield to beat their clocks, they aren't going to risk their capital on some unproven retail concept.
No, definitely not.
They need a sure thing. And right now in the state of Texas, the surest thing you can possibly buy is groceries. If you're looking for the absolute safest place for that 1031 money or for institutional capital to hide from inflation, it's necessity-anchored retail.
Specifically, grocery-anchored retail.
Exactly. And the sources show this sector is absolutely booming across the DFW market.
The development numbers in Texas are genuinely staggering. I mean, Dallas-Fort Worth is currently the most active grocery market in the entire United States.
Yeah.
There are 34 separate grocers currently in the development pipeline.
34?
Yeah, 34. Now, if you just look at surface-level data, you might see that overall DFW retail vacancy in the first quarter of 2026 ticked up slightly to 5.4%.
Right.
But you have to look under the hood of that metric. That slight rise in vacancy is entirely supply-driven. There are 7 million square feet of retail currently under construction.
Wow.
It's not a drop in consumer demand. It's just a massive influx of new product. And within that new space, necessity retail is being absorbed incredibly fast.
A perfect example of this in action is the massive Town Crossing deal in Mesquite, which was recently brokered by Disney Investment Group.
Oh, yeah. Huge deal.
We're talking about 167,957 square foot shopping center that is 92% leased. And the primary driver of that entire transaction's massive valuation was Kroger stepping up and signing an early long-term lease extension.
Yep.
We're also seeing HEB filing plans for a massive 125,000 square foot store at Valley Ranch Town Center in New Caney. The capital investment from these grocers is just immense.
And this intense focus on grocery real estate isn't just a regional Texas phenomenon, right? It's playing out on a massive macro level. Kroger is currently acquiring Giant Eagle for $1.6 billion.
Crazy numbers.
Right. But what is even more telling is that we're seeing grocers aggressively stepping in and buying their own real estate outright.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For instance, the Hispanic grocer Sedano's just paid $32 million for the plaza it anchors down in Miami.
Just own the dirt.
Exactly. Think about the mechanism there. A grocer operates on razor-thin margins. When they decide it makes more financial sense to deploy $32 million to own the dirt rather than simply leasing the box, that tells you exactly how valuable they believe those physical locations are as a hedge against future rent inflation.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Waiting for macro conditions to change is one thing, but acting on micro market gravity is another.
Okay.
When an HEB plants a flag in a new development, or a Kroger signs a long-term extension, they aren't just acting as a tenant. They act like a gravitational pull in Texas real estate.
Oh, absolutely.
When they open their doors, they are effectively underwriting the foot traffic for that entire center for the next 10 years. That guaranteed daily trip for milk, bread, groceries, that's exactly what gives the nail salon, the local dentist, the UPS store next door, the confidence to sign a 5-year lease at a premium rent.
Because they know the traffic is coming.
They know the consumer has to show up. The grocer creates an entire ecosystem of follow-on shop demand, dragging rent growth and cap rate compression right along with them.
That is the exact mechanism of value creation in retail right now. And what's fascinating here is how actionable that gravity is for an investor.
All right.
This is exactly why Eureka Business Group advises its clients to treat grocer site selection and early lease extensions as critical early warning signals.
Because it's basically a map.
It is a map. If you map out where HEB is going or where Kroger is extending, you know exactly where to buy the adjacent multi-tenant pads. The strategy is to acquire that surrounding real estate before the rest of the market prices and increase traffic and guaranteed demand that the grocer is going to bring.
So if grocery is the undisputed king of the current market, drawing in all the consistent necessity-based traffic, what happens to the rest of the retail landscape?
That's the big question.
The sources point to a very distinct barbell effect based on exactly how consumers are behaving right now.
Yeah.
On one side of the barbell, you have extreme budget-conscious value.
Mm.
On the other side, you have premium, high-end, experiential retail.
Yep.
And the casualty, unfortunately, is the commodity retailer sitting right in the middle.
The consumer spending data perfectly illustrates how this barbell operates mechanically. Back-to-school spending is projected to hit $38.8 billion this year.
Wow.
Right? Overall, household budgets for this category are actually up nearly 12%, reaching roughly $489 to $557 per child.
Okay, so people are still spending.
Exactly. But here's the catch. While the consumer is absolutely still spending money, they are hyper-selective about where and how they spend it. Because of inflation, they're actively hunting for extreme value on everyday items. Walmart and Kohl's are aggressively slashing prices to capture that specific traffic. And institutional capital is following this value trend closely. That is exactly why we just saw an institutional investor acquire a 46-property Family Dollar portfolio in a massive $75 million sale-leaseback transaction across 19 states.
A sale-leaseback is such a brilliant mechanism for a retailer like Family Dollar. I mean, they sell the physical buildings to an investor for an immediate $75 million cash injection.
Yep, instant liquidity.
Right, which they can use to fund operations or expansion. And then they immediately sign a long-term lease to stay in those exact same buildings. The investor gets guaranteed yield, and the retailer gets liquidity.
It's a win-win.
It really is. But then you look at the complete opposite side of the barbell, and experiential retail is just exploding. Projections show experiential retail becoming a $543 billion market by 2035.
Yeah, consumers will strictly budget their household essentials so they can afford to splurge on experiences they cannot replicate online. We see this playing out locally with massive DFW experiential development deals. Whole Foods is anchoring the new 40-acre Shivers Farm mixed-use project in the highly affluent South Lake submarket. And Dick's Sporting Goods is aggressively expanding its massive House of Sport concept. Have you seen these?
Those are the fields outside.
Yeah, featuring rock climbing walls, batting cages. They're treating the store almost like a theme park for athletes, forcing the consumer to visit in person.
But the middle of that barbell is where the danger lies. You have to look at the casualty of this consumer behavior shift. Retail commercial mortgage-backed securities, CMBS, saw delinquencies jump 30 basis points to 6.91% in June alone.
Which is concerning.
Very. But when you dig into where that distress is actually occurring, it's almost entirely concentrated in enclosed super-regional malls. That distress is not happening in necessity retail or open-air strip centers. The pain is localized to the middle.
And this raises an important question about tenant credit risk, right? And how strictly you screen your rent rolls if you're acquiring property today. CoreSite Research is projecting roughly 7,900 store closures in 2026.
That's a lot of empty boxes.
It is. Rigorous tenant screening is no longer just a best practice. It is vital for survival. The barbell effect proves mechanically that open-air, service-oriented centers, places like the Tuscan Village development or fitness-anchored strip centers, are essentially e-commerce resistant.
Right.
Think about the underlying mechanism. A consumer simply cannot get a haircut, go to a Pilates class, or have a physical therapy session online in a way that truly replaces the physical trip to a retail center.
So what does this all mean for you as an investor? If you're underwriting a shopping center today, you have to ask yourself a very harsh binary question. Does this property offer extreme convenience and value, or does it offer an immersive experience you simply cannot get through a screen? If the property is just selling commodity goods in the middle without a compelling draw or an essential service, you're effectively catching a falling knife.
Yep.
The physical trip has to have a distinct purpose that digital commerce cannot fulfill.
Exactly. Which brings us to the core takeaways from synthesizing this massive stack of July data.
Let's hear them.
The Federal Reserve's higher-for-longer stance has firmly stabilized pricing expectations. We know exactly where debt costs are, and we know they aren't dropping significantly anytime soon.
Right.
So for DFW investors, the playbook moving forward is incredibly clear. You must prioritize necessity, actively look for grocery-anchored centers, and target service-heavy multi-tenant pads that provide shelter from e-commerce.
The market has certainly provided the inventory, with single-tenant supply up 12.5%. But navigating that supply demands intense discipline.
Intense discipline.
The investors who are succeeding right now are those executing their 1031 exchanges into assets that predictably cash flow on day one. They're avoiding the distressed middle-market enclosed malls, and they're closely following the massive, sustained expansion of grocery footprints across Texas.
The shift from commodity retail to purposeful retail is fully underway, and the data proves that capital is rewarding the investors who understand that distinction.
And as the data shows, the DFW retail market is highly nuanced. It requires specialized, localized knowledge to successfully navigate. Remember, this deep dive was brought to you by Eureka Business Group.
Right.
They're uniquely positioned to help you execute these specific Dallas-Fort Worth retail acquisition and 1031 exchange strategies, turning this exact market data into actual stabilized portfolio growth.
Understanding the mechanics of the market is the first step. Executing on them requires the right partner.
Absolutely. And on that note, we want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over as you look at your own portfolio. In our sources, there was a fascinating detail about the luxury furniture brand Restoration Hardware, or RH.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, they're collaborating with a Formula One racing team, leaning heavily into this concept of retailtainment.
Right.
As retailers increasingly focus on creating massive, immersive experiences to draw people in, think about this. What happens to the underlying value of prime DFW commercial real estate when a physical storefront is no longer just a warehouse to store and sell inventory, but actually becomes a brand's most profitable interactive media channel?
Mm-hmm.
Are you pricing your real estate like a traditional store, or are you pricing it like a billboard?